Welcome back to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo podcast, featuring not one but two sexy hosts. You got the bearded Roper.
Hey, I got a beard.
And then you got the patchy Hunter. And that's what makes up the Pop Punk Emo Supremo podcast.
Yeah.
It's us two and select varied other people for other things that happen on the show, but you only hear our voices, so that's what matters.
Yeah.
Got him, boys.
I saw on Reddit somebody was like looking for pop punk podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggested ours.
Yeah.
And the OP, original post, for those people who don't know Reddit lingo,
yeah,
he's like, I've heard of those guys, they're great.
Aww.
I'm like, fuck yeah.
Nice.
Random person on the internet. And I think one of the guys from the Empty Space podcast commented on it too.
Oh, yeah. There we go. We got the boys.
They're like, they're great lads.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, because you know it's when they say lads, yeah, it's like, oh, it's the Empty Space boys. Hey, we got a fucking killer episode.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I finally get an episode where I can do nothing but just talk about the Wonder Years.
I know, right?
And no one can judge me.
We might have two this season.
Two,
yeah.
Oh yeah, we do. We have something else planned for the Wonder Years, but that's later on.
Later, skaters.
So, should we just? Well, I guess we should introduce it a little bit. We're gonna be talking about the newest release that dropped on September 23rd. The Hum Goes On Forever.
Yeah, we were supposed to put this out last week, but
yeah, I got sick. Roper had issues with life. You know how it is. You know what goes on.
The Hum Goes On Forever.
The Hum Goes On.
But
forever.
I do not.
Mm-hmm. We'll die one day.
Yeah.
What year, if you had to guess what year you're going to die, hit me with it right now.
2025.
20, oh, no.
No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully it's like 20 or like 3,022, you know?
Yeah, another 100 years on top of your life. Dude. Or 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
I want to be full robot, dude.
I feel like I'd die like right as I'm about to retire.
I'm probably not going to retire. I'll probably just have a heart attack on the job. And
yeah.
And then just, like, have the company pay out my family.
And you know what? There's some beauty to that.
I mean, that's if I ever have a family. At this point, it's not going that way.
Dude, you and me both, baby. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and jump into the album review.
All right.
All right. So before every album review, we got to talk about the band, Roper.
The band.
We got to talk about the Wonder Years.
Them Wondies.
I wrote a little band introduction. Tell me if you like it. It goes
this
like this.
This is long. It's a love letter.
It is a love letter. It's not that long.
No.
The Wonder Years are a pop punk, emo, modern rock, etc. band, just because there's so many genres to the Wonder Years. From Lansdale, PA, the Wonder Years formed back in 2005, starting their genre with some easy core and evolving their sound into something truly special, in which the genre can truly only be described as the Wonder Years.
Them Wonders.
Man, I am just a connoisseur of words. Compliment.
You consume a lot of words.
Okay,
huh?
Here we go. All right, let's talk about the band members. Also, I found out something special, so we'll talk about that in a second. But Dan Soupy Campbell, lead vocals, occasional guitar and ukulele.
The man.
Mm-hmm. Matt Brash, rhythm guitar, backing vocals, occasional co-lead vocals, and occasional percussion.
Oh, yeah.
Casey Cavalier, friend of the show. We
Our
can
friend.
Actually say that. Lead guitar, backing vocals, and acoustic guitar. Nick Steinborn, keyboard, piano, programming, guitar, backing vocals. And then he also used to do some percussion.
Ooh.
You know, every member can basically do everything. Josh Martin does bass, backing vocals, unclean vocals, synthesizer, occasional co-lead vocals. And then Mike Kennedy is drums/percussions. Now, there was a former member to this band that know about. I know. Mikey Kelly, which did the keyboards and some vocals back in the day.
Okay.
I'm assuming this is when the Easy Core stuff was happening.
Yeah.
So... and then we can go into the discography. I didn't get some of the EPs because there were like so many, and there was kind of like the one who used discography is kind of crazy.
Yeah, because like anything before it gets stoked on it is usually like grouped into the collection of songs that they have. Sleeping on Trash, isn't that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, that one should have came out Well, that, yeah, it's weird.
It did come out after Get Stoked on It, but a lot of the earlier songs before Get Stoked on It were on there.
I think it came out in like 2009 or 10 or something. Yeah. So, but anyway, we'll start on Get Stoked on It, dropped in 2007. The Upsize, 2010. Suburbia, I've Given You All, and Now I'm Nothing, 2011. The Greatest Generation, 2013. No Closer to Heaven, 2015. Sista Cities, 2018. And The Hum Goes On Forever was dropped this very year, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the album that we'll be talking about, The Hum Goes On Forever, is their seventh studio record and brand new release from the Wonder Years. The record explores themes of death, depression, and also newfound life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we'll be talking about that a little bit later. Dropped the 23rd, which was the September, which was the day after my birthday.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, baby. Nice way to...
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice way to come into being 27.
Yeah.
So... the only way that I could be a successful musician is if I die right now.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Gotta join that 27 Club, baby. Yeah,
that one EP that is not out yet.
Uh-huh.
I would probably, like, if you did die, I would probably just pay off whatever it is.
It's literally already paid for.
They just gotta do the work.
Well, I have to master it for $200.
Ah.
So, I know. That's it.
I'll just do that and then...
just release it unmastered. Don't even touch mastering.
Yep. No, I'll get it mastered and
then... Oh, okay.
Then when you pass on, I'll be like, have you guys heard Leaving Warren? Then you'll be an idol.
You'll be like, have you heard my band Leaving Warren?
Yeah. Be like, I played bass on this.
Yeah, can't you hear it? Okay. So what's the reception on the new record? Pretty much incredibly positive reviews.
Yeah.
All around. So, except Pitchfork here with a 7.3. Come on, Pitchfork.
Fuck you, Pitchfork.
I like how they had to put a 0.3.
I almost said Pitchfork.
Pitchfork. Come on, Pitchfork.
Fucking bitch.
Kerrang! Give it a 4 out of 5. Walls Hell of Sound, yeah. 9 out of 10. Rock and Low, 10 out of 10. And Distorted Sound Magazine gave it a 9 out of 10.
Damn.
So, that leads us to our track by track discussion.
Review.
Are you ready? Should we start with the first track?
Yeah, no, let's start with the last one and go backwards.
You're right. No. Track one, Doors I Painted Shut. So when I first, this was the first song that you can listen to that wasn't a single on the record. So,
well, she jumped in the middle like a weirdo, but
yeah, well, some people put on shuffle like Silly Boys and Girls. Yeah. You shouldn't do that.
No.
I listened to a lot of interviews with this record and, Dan's like, yeah, please listen to it from front to back. This is a,
it's the only way that like makes sense to me, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess like the new like way to release music is just constantly releasing singles, and it doesn't matter in what order they are. But
I hate that.
I agree, and I think that this I think this album does an excellent job of like knowing where what song should go on the record.
Did you get your vinyl yet?
No.
Okay, I didn't get mine yet.
I'm
either.
Furious because every time I order something from their vinyl store, what's it called?
Loneliest Place on Earth.
Yep, yeah, Loneliest Place on Earth. It's always delayed.
Yeah,
always.
This one, they shipped on the 30th is what I had heard.
Well, did you get the deluxe or did you get the regular?
I got the deluxe.
Okay, I got the deluxe and I heard that's why it was delayed. But it's like, I literally had this thing pre-ordered for like months.
Yeah, once they opened up the pre-orders. Like,
yeah, but they're like, they delayed the record because they couldn't get these things printed. And
yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
It must be the single of Summer Clothes that's making it take so long.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
But I am excited to hear that.
Yeah.
And I'll actually mention that a little bit.
Isn't that an extended one?
Yeah, I think it's like 7 minutes long.
Oh.
I know, you get like an additional like 3 or 4 minutes, which is pretty nice.
I wonder what else he's going to talk about.
I don't know. Hmm. I don't know. I hope it just expands on the end. Here, let's talk about Doors I Painted Shut.
Just so excited about this album.
So it's an amazing opening. I think we can agree on that.
Don't wanna die.
It gives me like They're There vibes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
Yeah, like it's got the somber opening coming to more of like a powerful climactic ending that I really liked. I think the Wonder Years do a really good job of like actually building the song up. And yeah. Like, I think they did
This album's phenomenal, full of it too.
Oh, yeah. Lyrically, like most songs on this record, I really am blown away. The way Dan yells, "I don't like me," like, "I don't like me." Like, I don't know why, but that fucking hit me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man. Like, because I think there's a lot of times, especially, like, the people in the scene of music, like, they really struggle with, like, trying to be themselves and enjoying who they actually are as a person.
Yeah.
So, and I really love how, like, the instruments had, like, we were talking about, grown throughout. Like, when the electric guitars kick in for the first time, you're like, oh, shit, I'm about to get my fucking, about to get rocked, baby. So, what do you think?
So fucking rocked. They really know how to set a tone for, like, the whole album with this song. And I feel like they're, like, they do this with, like, every album, though.
Yeah, yeah, they do a great job. I think ever since, like,
since The Greatest Generation, at least.
Yeah, like, it's cool because you can, like, see the generations of the Wonder Years.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the first two records were definitely, like, I know they say the first three records are, like, the generation of, like, growing up or whatever. Yeah. But honestly, like, I think the first two records are. The third one's, like, this, like end of adolescence phase.
Yeah, getting ready to jump into the adult phase, like, the No Closer to Heaven era.
Yeah, I think that's where the real adult phase kicks in. Then Sister Cities is kind of like, it's almost like mourning being an adult in my mind. And then this record is like, it's like coming to terms with it. That's kind of how I see. So I have no idea. I'm really curious as to like what the Wonder Years will do next. A lot of people thought this was their last record.
No way.
So yeah, I think they definitely got some more in them. So I mean, like, what do you do after that though? Because like, this is how they all make money. Like, I don't think they have other jobs unless they're like in the music field.
I mean, like, Casey's a producer and stuff, and I'm sure the other guys.
I know Dan does producing. Yeah. I think all of them do. Yeah, some sort of producing. I found out Mike Kennedy has a solo project on YouTube.
Really? I think I did know that. Did you? Think you actually sent me music from it.
Oh, maybe I did.
Like,
I don't
maybe
remember.
Like a year ago or so, and it was all on like Bandcamp or something.
That might have been Josh, actually.
Yeah.
They all have something solo. So.
Yeah, it was Josh.
Was it Josh? Yeah, I think Mike Kennedy. I don't know when Mike Kennedy's come out, but sorry. I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
Dude.
I know. I'm fucking
We're not even out of the first song. No,
I'm so pumped about talking about this record.
This song.
About it constantly.
Yeah, this song, like, the first time I heard this song, or heard the beginning of this album, I was just like, I don't know. It hits me right in the feels every time, and it's starting to hit me like more and more in the feels a lot more lately. Jesus, I can't talk. I've come back to this one the most just because I start this album over and then I get like halfway through and get distracted at work.
Yeah.
Dan's emotion in his vocals, like throughout this song, like really hit me hard. It's really believable. And then just the build throughout this whole song really fucking stands out.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of gets you prepped for the rest of the album.
I think this might be my favorite song that wasn't a single.
Yeah.
I don't know. The last song's like,
it's really hard to pick, especially with the last, like comparing this one to the last song, even though,
well, there's like an A B, you know?
Yeah. It kind of builds the last song. It's kind of like a reprise, but it's also its own song, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a ton of references in the last song to like this record and previous records. Yeah. And like
there's
this
a
whole
lot of,
record is
yeah, there's
full
shit
of references.
Ton of references.
Mm-hmm. Even like there's a reference to Wyatt's song later out on in the record.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting that he's referencing like this very record, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I always wondered if it was like, is this the signs of like someone who's truly a great lyricist, which I know we all agree that Dan is, or was it like just a happy accident that like it just managed to fit into that song? Or was he like strategically trying to place these references? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he necessarily was like, but I don't know.
I know. Well, maybe one day we'll get to ask him.
Maybe we should ask him.
So I think Roper and I agreed that we weren't going to like rate songs on scale. I think it's too hard to.
I mean,
they're all just going to be nines and tens.
I know, right? There's maybe one that might be like a six or five or six.
There's a few songs on here that I was like not the biggest fan of. I could think of like three off the top of my head that like weren't my favorites, but like they still were better than most songs I listened to. So Should we jump into track number two?
Yeah.
We got Wyatt's song.
Parentheses, your name.
Okay. Wyatt's song is such a heartfelt song that really brings a smile to my face. I think it, like, is the embodiment of fatherhood.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, knowing that you need to love and protect your child. And I think Dan just killed it with that. As someone who has struggled with who I am and, like, the thought that, like, one day being, like, trying to be a good father, this song was really comforting knowing that Dan clearly loves his kid. Yeah. And even though he struggles, like, he is a great dad. So I think a lot of it's, like, as a dog dad right now, I've seen myself fail a lot.
Oh, yeah. So. I still fail with my dog, and he's 4. Oh,
okay. My dog just turned 1.
Oh.
I know, and she's still a shit.
Happy birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, on her birthday is when she pissed on my bed.
Ah. Mm-hmm. She's literally a shit.
Mm-hmm. And then
shit's all over the place.
She chewed my work shoes on my birthday. So
here you go, Dad.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know where her head was because she knew she was going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
But nope. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Dogs.
I know.
Dog dad.
The line, but I'm on your side. Like, but I'm on your side. It's so simple but perfect.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what everyone really wants is to have people on their fucking. In their corner.
Especially their parents.
Mm-hmm. Especially their parents. Like, that's like your foundation of how to build relationships with other people. So, it's a beautiful song, and I'm sure Wyatt will love it for the rest of his life.
Yeah. His brother's going to be pissed because
I know he doesn't have a song.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I was thinking about that too. There is a reference to him in the last song. So.
Yep. So. I think he might have wrote this song. Like, at least the lyrics to this song, like, way before the second one was born.
Yeah, I bet.
God damn, what a catchy tune.
So catchy.
Really emotional tune as well. It really captures putting your emotions aside to make sure that your child is okay and they're going to grow up to be safe or comfortable, you know? Instrumentally, I think they fucking knock it out of the park with this one. It's such a catchy tune, not only lyrically but like instrumentally. Like, I can hear the guitar riff, the opening guitar riffs right away. It's just fucking amazing. I really love his lyrics in this, like, where, like you were saying, I'm on your side, like, but when he's like, I'm low and I'm scared, like, you know, you look at your parents, you never see that when you're a kid, you never see that like vulnerable side of them.
No.
And the first time that you do, you're like, oh shit, they are human.
Dude.
And this is pretty much like Dan admitting that, like, throughout the whole song. He's like, I'm fucking scared that I'm going to ruin you. But I think as long as you, like, you try, you know, you're not going to ruin your kid. But I'm not a dad.
There's this great line from a philosopher that I don't know if it's a philosopher, or a poem writer. I don't know what it was. But it
Albus Dumbledore.
Not that guy. But I found it at the end of a Less Than Jake music video.
Okay.
And it kind of seemed out of place, but it has literally stuck with me my whole life. But also, you know what that means? I also forget it. And I don't want to butcher it, so I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
Okay. So here's the quote. The day the child realizes that all adults are imperfect, he becomes an adolescent. The day he forgives them, he becomes an adult. And at the end of the video, it says, the day the child forgives himself, he becomes wise.
Ooh.
I know, right? It's kind of it's by Alden Nolan, and it's like always something that fucking sticks with me.
Alden Nolan.
Everything.
Now land.
So, I don't know if you guys found that was interesting, but that really...
Nowlin is short for knowledge.
Is that how it is? That's very knowledgeable.
Did you now that?
I didn't. No, Lynn. Okay.
Oh, then.
Your name. That's the only thing I don't like about the song.
You don't like the catchy your name.
I think, and I blame Mark Hoppus. If you guys haven't heard the many, like, Mark Hoppus, like, helped Soupy, like, rearrange the chorus to make it flow a little better. But there's, like, this, I call it the Blink-182 effect, and it's just repeating the same fucking line over and over again. Like, Dan, like, makes up for it by having very inquisitive, like, verses, But like when I say your name is the only, like, I don't know. It's just something about that. He also does it in Low or whatever.
Low Tide.
Jesus, yeah. I couldn't think of it. Yeah. And I was just, I don't know. There's just something about it to where I'm like, as like a songwriter, I don't think I could ever do that. But he also does it in another song. It's my favorite part. So maybe I'm fucking stupid. I don't know.
You just sound very conflicted right now.
I'm just like, I am very, like, even though this is like my favorite band, I think this is an amazing record. I'm also very critical of it because, like, I want to learn from it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, hands down.
Right?
I'm going to get back to what I was talking about.
I mean, if you want. I'm sorry. It's like the second time.
Oh, no, you're good. But I was talking about, like, lyrically, I just like everything that this song has to offer, like, especially like the forward thinking of like the second verse of where he's like talking about digging glass out of a garden.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
and
line.
Like, oh man, just like, who thinks of that? Like, he's like, I'm gonna like dig glass out of a garden because my kid's gonna learn to run in here one day.
He said in an interview that the house that he bought, apparently before, like, he had bought it, like, kids just like went in and smashed all the windows and shit.
Oh shit.
And that's why there's glass in the garden.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of side knowledge there. Man, for you.
You've been watching all the interviews.
I love interviews. I love like getting like the behind the mindset of people who wrote songs. I like.
Yeah, I like to watch it. Like, I would definitely watch Wonder Years interviews, but I'm more so of like a podcast guy.
Ah, fair enough.
Where like
he's on podcasts too.
Not ours, so.
No, are you kidding me,
Dan?
The
only one that matters.
Come on, Dan.
Come on, Dan.
Casey was on it. Let's get every Wonder Years person but Dan.
No, we gotta have him. I've been singing this song all summer.
All summer?
Yeah. It's a fucking great.
Summer's done,
song.
My dude.
No, now it's fall.
I know. Crazy how time goes.
Yeah. It's like, it goes faster the older that we get, too.
I know. I'm just gonna wake up, be 50 years old.
Dude,
one day.
On Wednesday, I woke up.
Did you wake up older?
Yeah, I did. I wake up older every day, but like, woke up at like 6:30, then fell back asleep, woke up at like 9, and then I blinked and it was 3:00.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I was just playing Pikmin all day.
Dude, I got super sick and it was like that.
Yeah,
and like,
it's
I
weird.
Just like wake up and I'll be like, oh, I should probably get up. And then I woke up again and it was like 4 hours later.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I don't know. Like, I couldn't get out of bed on Wednesday. I've been having a terrible time. So I just like, terrible time. Yeah. So like, I just like got up at like 9, blinked, and then it was 3:00. I'm like, fuck, my day's already over. It's not like I was leaving my apartment anyways.
Ah, yes. My favorite kind of weekend.
Ooh, but it was middle of the week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you not go into work?
No.
What'd you call in sick?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Forget you can do that. You'd be fine.
I mean, I probably shouldn't have, but.
Nah, it's whatever.
Going through some shit, okay?
I feel you. You know what? But
let's go to
You're
the
probably
next
not going through so much as shit as Madeline is.
Yeah.
And this new Wonder Years song, which was like the lead single for the record.
Yeah. Drifting with the Wind.
And that's oldest daughter. I am so pumped they brought back Madeline.
Fucking rules. But is like the original Madeline about somebody that he doesn't like. He loves, but he knows he has to separate from.
Yeah, it's I don't know if like distant the right word, but like a distant family member of his.
Because I usually skipped over the original Madeline.
I always really liked Madeline. I really connected to it. I liked the stripped down Wonder Years quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's just something raw about it that I really like. But so when they brought back Madeline for like a more traditional Wonder Years song, I think they did the best way they possibly could. Yeah. I'd like to hear her story continue. I mean, Madeline's not a real name, so no one really knows a real name, but the band. But I mean, I was watching a review of this record and some guy's like, oh yeah, those oldest daughters. Being a parent can be really difficult. And I was like, that is not what you think, dude.
No.
Another little side note, oldest daughter, if you take the first letters of both words, you get OD, which I think
I do remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that is the sign. A lot of, I mean, this Madeline obviously has wrapped her life up with drugs and stuff. So,
yeah.
But anyway, the song is very sad, but badass. And the lyrics are aggressive, but it sucks. It has to tie like so closely to an actual living person.
Yeah.
But the line like, Madeline, I love you, but we both know how this ends. It's so powerful.
Yeah.
And like it's accepting the obvious fate, but expressing your love regardless. I think there's a nice balance in that. And I love when the guitars all kick in the beginning. Yeah. Oh man, so boom, badass. Boom, bam, bam. The band just really sounds tight as fuck with this. I think that this is going to be a classic one of your song.
I thought this was like the perfect single for this album to kick off with.
Yeah, it had to grow on me a little bit.
Yeah.
I think the chorus was always there for me, and then like some of the opening lines, like, and then I started to like really fucking fall in love with them. Like a liar the fucker up.
Yeah, that one's
badass. So dope. What is it? It's like liar the fucker up.
Some people get all the luck.
Some people get all the luck, but some gotta live.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a genius.
That one fucking hits hard.
Mm-hmm. And also like Soupy's like a disdain for cops for being assholes. Like I was like, okay, Soupy, I feel you.
Cab, bro.
Hey. What up?
What if we got one cop that listens to this and he's like, yeah, ACAB, dude.
I heard some story about some cops that were like gotten in trouble for playing like Grand Theft Auto and shit. And it was like, I don't remember. It was like this big deal.
It's a video game.
Exactly. But they're like, you're playing as gangsters and shooting cops. You shouldn't play. You shouldn't play that if you're a cop.
Our buttholes are so tight.
Fucking losers. So stupid. Okay. Losers. Talk about this.
Actually, they're not tight buttholes. They got loose buttholes.
You think they're loose?
Yeah. Have you ever watched Workaholics?
Oh, yeah. A long time
ago. They're always like, tight butthole, man. That means they're cool.
Oh.
But loose butthole is not cool.
That is not cool. You don't want a loose butthole.
That's cops.
Mm-hmm.
Not all cops, but most.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not cop haters, guys. Yeah. We just hate bad cops.
Yeah.
So, anyway, go ahead.
Besides Low Tide, and this might be the most relatable song on the album for me, shout out to Mike Kennedy. Those drum patterns in the beginning, I don't know what it is. I think maybe it's just like I've noticed his playing more after seeing them live.
Yeah.
The last time.
Mike's just a killer drummer. He might be one of the best in the scene.
God, but I feel like he's underrated too.
Yeah, I do as well. Mike. But like you just hear him play and stuff and like it's... I don't know, like, you have to hear, like, if you really, like, tone everything out but the drums, you can, like, hear these, like, little differences that he does, and, like, just these, like, little fills, and it's really intricate.
Yeah,
fucking props to him.
Yeah, on this album, he really stands out.
Yeah, he does great.
I've never, like, maybe I'm just a bad Wonder Years fan, but, like, I've never, like, been like, oh, yeah, their drummer is just killer. Because there's so many different moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
But this album, I feel like they let them shine a lot more.
Well, when you have, like, three guitarists, it's, like, hard for them not to be, like, the main fucking focus of the band.
Which, like, their guitars are amazing.
Yeah, they did great. Especially the tone. The tones were really fantastic. Yeah.
And our best friend, Casey, he's so cool.
Yeah. Casey's my best friend. Shut up.
Hey, he's both of ours.
Okay, that's
This one hit me, like, the first time I heard it. We all have that one person that, like, we know that we can't, like, be friends with anymore, and it, like, sucks that you have to cut them off.
Yeah.
But, like, it's easy. It's, like, the best thing that you have to do for yourself. Mm-hmm. It's just you gotta fly, and then you gotta let them fly.
Yeah, I think it's just, like, people growing out of each other.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. It just happens.
Yeah, it's just really hard. But, like, especially, like, when it's a family member, that's really difficult. Because you're like, I know I'm supposed to love you, but at the same time, I really just don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That one's really hard. Or you have those family members that you want to, like, help a lot, and then they just keep getting in their own way.
See, you were really close with your family. I don't really have too much of that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the only person in the world who's close with my family nowadays. But
I mean,
I'm not like the only person in the world who is. But
sometimes I feel really left out. Or like they'll be like, oh, I'm just at my parents hanging out. I'm like, you just hang out at your parents? It's fucking weird.
Yeah, I like hanging out with my parents.
I like seeing them for like at short bursts, you know?
Yeah.
There's
definitely times where I'm like, okay, I gotta go home now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, I feel you.
Yeah. I know, my parents are cool.
Your parents are cool.
The song just hits so fucking hard, dude.
That's a great tune.
It's so awesome. But that's tune. I felt I related to this one really hard when it first came out. I don't know why I can't talk right now, dude.
It's okay.
It's been 2 weeks since our last recording, and just
I know like, we're out of practice in the
flow
now.
Anymore, man.
Out of practice. God,
lost
damn it.
It.
lost it in the lights.
Yeah.
What up? Another reference.
Madeline, I love you, but we both know how this song review ends.
With a 10.
Right now, 10.
Yeah, that line though, like I think there's like a lot of like ways that you can take it to where it's like you can really truly love someone, but you know it's like
yeah.
It's inevitable that it's gonna come to an end.
Yeah, and you're sometimes you like hold on a little bit too long and then it burns you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, we're sad now. Let's go to let's go to Cardinals.
And get extra sad.
Cardinals 2.
Ooh.
Or Cardinals II. So this is one of the songs I was like kind of mad on.
I was too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad I wasn't the only one. I said the vibe of the song with the song guitars, especially in the verses, just isn't my favorite. Like
yeah.
It's just, I think the lyrically, like it, the song is a masterpiece in writing.
Yeah.
Like I think it's fantastic, but like, yeah, it's just the one of yours always like has a few like somber songs on records that I've always been like, I listen to records front to back usually. So it's just,
yeah.
Sometimes if I'm like, I'm just not in the mood for that, I'll skip it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but I'll say this, the bridge is one of my favorite parts of the whole record.
Yeah.
Because it like definitely it brings up exact lines from
the first one.
Yeah, from the first
Cardinals. The beginning of the bridge is mm-hmm. literally the
have a nightmare again.
I like the first Cardinals a lot.
I do too.
It's one of my favorite Wonder Years songs, but
I think it may be his best written song.
It's so good.
I don't know.
I don't know. That album, I've talked about that album so many times.
That was the album that I really had to let grow on me.
Yeah.
That like, one, it was a definitely did not really care for when it first came out.
It's weird because, like, the first two Wonder Years albums that I heard were The Upsides and Suburbia, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, those ones, like, I was all about those, but when Greatest Generation came out, I don't know if I was just like not quite catching on to the Wonder Years like I thought I was, but that one took a long time for it like to grow on me. Fuck, dude.
That's actually my favorite record.
I mean, I come back to it a lot now.
Do you?
And like, I don't feel like they've put out a bad album. In my opinion, like Sister Cities might be like my least favorite, but I've come back.
It's everyone's least favorite.
But I've come back to it, and there's some fucking great songs on there, like lyrically and like.
I think Pyramids of Salt, It Must Get Lonely, and The Ocean Grew Hands to Hold Me are like the songs that I come back to the most.
Flowers Where Your Face Should Be is fucking phenomenal.
It's all right.
Raining in Kyoto. I like that one just because some of the things that he talks about, like, I put my own personal connection to.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think everyone can agree that I don't know if it's the mixing or the mastering, but one of the two on the record was not done that well. And I think
same with No Closer to Heaven. It's just really quiet.
Well, and I think why this record stands out a little bit more is they went back to, like, older producers like Will Yip.
Yeah.
They used some of Ace Enders, and I think there was an additional one, but I can't remember who it was. But Will Yip is a fucking masterclass when it comes to this kind of music. I'd love to work with him one day.
Yip he is.
Nice.
Hey, yo.
Okay, you got anything else for Cardinals 2?
Am I still? Oh, yeah. I don't even think I've, like, dove in. Wait, yeah.
I saw a little bit there.
I'm a sucker for callbacks, dude, and this song is full of them. Like, when he talks about the paper cranes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This one has some big shoes to fill compared to the original. Like I said earlier, that's one of my favorite Wonder Years songs.
Mm-hmm.
First time I heard it live, I got goosebumps because the whole crowd was the doing, or was
no
the doing.
Savior.
No saviors. Whole crowd was doing that. Ooh, insta chills. Incredibly somber tone, like you had said.
Mm.
I really like, I enjoy the guitars in it, but it doesn't quite hit like the first one does. Love not only references in or to No Closer to Heaven, but Sister Cities as well. It's just full of refs.
All the refs.
And that's all I got to say about that one.
Yeah.
It's good, but
yeah, it's got its highlights.
Yeah.
It's got highlights, but we're going to go into a more upbeat track, Roper.
Yeah.
And that's The Paris of Nowhere.
Out of the bottom there. Why one of these?
Dude, what a fucking hook, I gotta say. I love this track. I think it stands out and it reflects a bit of like the earlier styles that the Wonder Years had.
Yeah.
I think, but like it holds lyrically to like true to like what the Wonder Years
where have they become. Progressed to. Yeah.
So I think this might be like my hidden like standout track.
Yeah.
Just because probably because it sounds so different. It's like reminiscent of the older stuff. But, also best hook on the record.
Oh yeah.
I think so. There's like no time where I've listened to a song where I didn't sing the Delaware part. Yeah. And then I had to start Googling shit because I don't understand a ton of what's going on in this song. But that's because I am not a fucking Philly native.
Yeah.
So Philly natives are probably going to really enjoy this one.
Oh yeah.
I really like the energy, and it does seem to like take itself as serious. Like it doesn't seem to take itself as serious as the rest of the record, which so it's like a nice break. And I think that's why it's like damn near straight in the middle of the record.
Yeah.
So I think they did a great placement with that.
Absolutely.
It's like a trip through memory lane, you know, through all the old stuff. So I really like that. Do you know the idea of like the Paris of nowhere? I know the Delaware, throw me to Delaware, like the Delaware River like runs through a lot of the East Coast.
I honestly don't know the Paris of nowhere, so.
Yeah, I don't understand that reference. I think
it's just like a clever name. Yeah. Like Paris is this like elegant city.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're looking at Philadelphia as like a version of Paris, but nobody else looks at Philadelphia the way that Philadelphians do.
Maybe. You know what? I was looking at the song title and I started like doing this weird thing in my brain where like I just started noticing weird things like nowhere. But like you can now say now here.
Yeah.
I don't know why that was like such a
now here.
Which is so interesting because like they mean the opposite of each other yet they spell the same thing.
Yeah.
A little bit of mind fuck for you. Mm-hmm. Now you'll think about that for the rest of your life.
Now here I will.
All right, you can go.
Can't have a Wonder Years album without a song about Philadelphia.
Ooh, Philly, stinky, dirty Philly.
Cheesesteaks.
Delicious. I'd love to go back to Philly.
I've never been.
I only went there once, and it's kind of funny because like I wasn't going to end up going to Philly. I lived in Pennsylvania. I lived in Lititz, which was voted like the coolest small town in America.
It
was
okay,
and it was really cool.
We're both small town people.
Mm-hmm. So I really did enjoy Lititz. I needed to go to Philly to be able to like see all these Wonder Years references. So instead of going to work my last day before moving back to Iowa, I said fuck you guys because they were trying to fuck me on pay. And then I said I'm not coming in today. And they're like, Hunter, we need you. And I'm like, ha ha ha. And then
joke's on you. I'm going home.
Mm-hmm, don't fuck with me. That's honestly that's something that everyone should realize. As soon as you fuck with me, I will find a way to fuck you back. Anyway,
in the anus.
So then I went and did a Wonder Years tour, and I went to all the Wonder Years landmarks and stuff, and I walked around. It was really cool.
Nice.
Like in the nicer parts of Philly, but then you can go like to the not so nice parts. So I know it's a little dirty here and there, but anyway, that's all I gotta say.
That's cool, dude.
Thanks, man. Love your support.
I love how this album just has a little bit of everything from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like last song was definitely like a No Closer to Heaven to Sister City's version of a song. And then this one just goes straight back to like suburbia.
As it should.
Yeah. it's a nice change of pace, like right in the middle of the album. Like you were saying, it's light. It's not super in depth, but it's very like lighthearted.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just love the beginning of it too, where he's just like building shrines of St. Nick Foles.
I had to Google who that was, too.
Quarterback of the fucking Philadelphia Eagles.
Did he die?
No, I don't think so.
Why are they building him shrines?
Because he's their savior.
Oh, God. I know Daniel loves his football.
Yeah.
I just could not care less about sports.
Nah, I'm not a big sports guy. I enjoy watching some hockey every once in a while. A little bit of baseball, but
yeah, your whole family likes hockey for some reason.
It's because my mom.
Oh.
My mom liked watching hockey because Seattle's like right, we're very close to Vancouver, Canada.
Seattle Seahawks, baby.
Seahawks, not a hockey team.
Oh. Probably football then.
Not yet. But all right, you want
to... Should we go to the next one?
Yeah.
All right, we got a bit of a acoustic track.
Yeah, we're not allowed to take a week off again.
I'm fine, it's you.
Yeah, I am very tired.
You go practice in the mirror. All right.
We got a little look at myself. I hate myself.
Jesus Christ. No, this record's kidding. For you, my friend. This song is called Summer Clothes. Okay. I do dig this song, but for some reason, I always end up skipping it.
Me too.
Do you really? Yeah. Okay, I'm not alone
It's
here.
Good, but...
Yeah. It might be because I listened to it nonstop when the record when the song dropped. Like, I love the one of your acoustic tracks, but when the rest of the band comes in, it's like phenomenal. I love it. But then you got to wait for fucking ever to get there.
Yeah.
And like, also let's talk about fucking Dan's impressive ass ending vocals.
Oh yeah.
Like I tried hitting that. That's pretty damn hard.
Yeah.
It's really difficult.
Not happening.
Uh-uh. But I am excited to hear the extended version of Blissful 7 minutes.
Hopefully it shows up this weekend.
Mm-hmm. It won't.
No.
Mine hasn't even shipped yet. So.
Some people, I need to check if mine did.
I checked today. Definitely did not ship. I don't think we're going to get it till like next year.
Dude, I hope not. Some people already have it though.
I know those bastards. You know why they got it? I think this is what happened. I think the band decided to hold off on the deluxe versions that were pre-ordered and went and sold them at some of the acoustic shows they did. And if that's the case, I'm a little pissed off. I'm not going to lie.
Come on, guys.
I pre-ordered that shit. Give me a record. And I want my watch.
They already took our money, too.
I know. I want my watch. I want my record. I bought this sweater that you guys can't see. It's nice and green.
It says the hum goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. You bought a watch?
I did.
Does that have Hank the Pigeon on it?
No, it's just the thing that says the hum goes on forever and like an infinity thing.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
It is.
I didn't even see that on there.
It's it was, you know, it's, I like ordering like the weird shit that they're never gonna make again.
Yeah, you get all the weird like obscure Wonder Years stuff.
Mm-hmm. Keep Flying is the best about like releasing weird merch. I got a candle. I have a survival thing that
they have did. Some kick-ass shirts
and they did everything awesome. They have like an Eddie Munson poster that I really wanted.
Ooh.
So
maybe if you message them again,
I probably could,
because didn't you get a flag last time?
Yeah, I bought a flag. I got it. I just don't have anywhere to hang it up right now. So I'm gonna wait till I get my house. I'm gonna pop the seal with that flag, I think, because it's pretty
badass.
Gonna
put our flag back up?
Fuck that. It's too big, dude.
No, it's not. It's not big enough.
They got me a flag for my birthday last year. And what'd you guys spend, like $100 on it or something ridiculous?
Yeah, I think I paid 60. Chris paid 60.
Jesus.
And then Brian paid...
I think he paid like 20 or something.
Brian chipped in.
Yeah. But all I know is that like... It's like a flag that's supposed to be hung up outside on a flagpole.
Yeah, dude, we should just get you a flagpole.
Give me a flagpole.
Okay,
and
then
everybody will be really confused when they... It's free publicity. Free
marketing. It is. And people are going to be like, what's that?
They're like, let me look this up. Like, who are these guys? When they talk about the Wonder Years?
Oh, God, we're not going to listen to their podcast.
That's so weird. That I haven't heard about that TV show for years.
Kevin Arnold.
So strange. But what do you think of this song?
This song is a cute little acoustic song, and it reminds me of Dan's solo stuff.
Yeah, give me some of those vibes.
I kind of thought, like, what if this was, like, a bonus track to that album, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. I don't really have a lot of thoughts about this. Like, I do like his vocals at the end. When the band comes in, it's dope, but, like, like you said, when I listen to this album all the way through, this is definitely one of the skips, unfortunately. But I don't know. I still think it's really good. It's a nice slow song.
Oh yeah,
a little cutie.
Dan actually mentions the name Justin. Justin and I.
Yeah,
and Justin is also referenced in the All My Friends Are in Bar Band song.
Yep. So it might be an older friend.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's who that is. Maybe. We'll never know. Maybe we'll.
There's a lot of people on this earth named Justin.
That's true. We should eliminate half of them.
Yeah.
What do you think? Should we do it?
My cousin is one of them, so I'm not sure if
he can be the living half.
I don't know though.
Maybe. You're not really making a good case for the guy.
Then I'll be the oldest grandson.
Ooh, that's a song right there.
Yeah,
oldest grandson. All right, let's keep moving.
Be like the Avengers blip. He'll just disintegrate in the air.
Only people named Justin, though.
Only gotta get rid of all the Justins.
Too many Justins. All right, track number 7, Lost It in the Lights.
Yeah.
This was a great track and had a killer music video. If you haven't seen it, I just want you guys to know. Did you see it?
I don't think I did.
It's like, it has like this shot of like this like office building that's really great, and like it just looks like a really boring office.
Is this where they're all like cramped in that room and then the guy's dancing with his hands? Oh, okay. Yeah, I did see it.
I love it. I love it so much.
They all just look like they're about to gang up on the dude who's dancing, though. It's funny.
I love the guitar work and the lyrics in this a lot. The song being about like how Dan is lucky to be a successful musician and he isn't going anywhere for decades to come. Like, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And then here's where I was hypocritical. Like the what if line. What if, what if, what if, what if, what if the magic's gone? I think that was like really fucking good.
Yeah.
I don't know why it is, but I think that's one of the only reasons the song really catches my attention is that. I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but that's like the main one for sure. So really dug that one. What do you think?
I forgot that Anthony Bourdain died until I heard the song.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Isn't he a chef?
Yeah, I had to Google him to remind myself. But yeah, he was like this famous chef that like committed suicide.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he died during COVID.
Regardless, he committed suicide. I know that
COVID
much.
Related.
I'm pretty sure he hung himself. Oh, the COVID got him.
It was COVID related. Have you seen South Park? You don't watch South Park, do you?
I watched some of it. I started watching bits and pieces of the newest season. They did this like paintball episode. Like, that was absolutely garbage.
When there's this COVID special that they put out, and like, they do some really fucked up shit in it, and the police are like, it's COVID related, but it wasn't at all.
I mean, that's kind of what happened.
That's what happened to Anthony Bourdain, I guess.
Gosh darn it.
This music video makes me laugh, dude. Like, you just like see the guy dancing, then you pan over to the whole band, which they're squished in this office, and they look like look like they're about to beat up the dancing guy. Nice catchy chorus.
I was 17. I want to hear that song.
Kerosene.
I want to hear the song about drinking kerosene.
And he's been coughing up embers for decades.
To come.
To come. Very dope song. Makes me want to dance with my hands.
Makes you want to dance with your hands? Very interesting.
I like it. It's not like, it wasn't one of my like standout tracks on this album, but it's still, I can definitely listen to it all the way through.
Remember when we first did this podcast and you kept saying, I love pointing my finger to this song.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, what are you talking about?
This is definitely
about?
A finger pointing song.
Is this a finger pointing song? Yeah, you gotta bring that back, dude.
That's
how I know if you like a song or not.
Damn, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows.
Shows how far we've come,
old.
Baby.
I'm old. I don't even point anymore.
It doesn't point anymore? You're fucking kidding me. All right. We read about track number 8.
Yeah.
Song's called Songs About Death. It's Halloween time.
Ooh.
I have yet to watch a single horror movie. I'm ashamed of myself.
Oh, I almost watched The Exorcist last night. And then I'm like, that's probably a bad before bad movie.
That is the most cursed movie.
And they spend like the first like 10 minutes in Egypt.
Yeah, they do.
I didn't know that.
You always forget about it, too.
Because
it's just like, we found this spooky thing.
The rest of the movie is spent in, it's like a one-act play. One set play. It's just spent
just in the house, I think.
And then you're like, oh, shit, you're in Egypt.
Yep, that's how it rolls.
That's The Exorcist review for you.
There you go, 10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah, a girl throws up green shit.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That movie is like actually really impressive for
I like
the time.
That movie, yeah.
All right. I think this is my least favorite song on the record. I think the guitar tones are really cool and match the subject matter, but nothing crazy is happening here. I do like the line, I've been writing songs about death too long. I need to stop. It's a nice one that goes with the record, but I mean, it's like, it's, if they did not add this song, I think the only reason they added this song, there's a part of me that thinks that it's for just the beginning of Low Tide.
That's kind of what I feel.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you on this whole, like,
ooh, the Hunt Sizzle.
The Hunt Sizzle on this one. I don't really have much to say about the song. Like, I listened to it when the album came out, and then I was like,
yeah,
I could pass on it. Definitely more of a Sister Cities vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Dan's like, there's no skips on this record. I'm like, this one's a skip for me. Pal.
Sorry, Dan.
Sorry, Dan.
But it's okay. Maybe we're just not.
Maybe someone really likes this song. Maybe
someone likes songs about death.
From the consensus that I've read on Facebook, yeah. Everyone's pretty on our side with this one, so we're safe.
They're low and they're scared, but they're on our side.
They're on our side, baby. What up? Hey. Speaking of low, we got Low Tide. I'm throwing out my head.
Oh, speaking of good drum fill,
this was
right in the beginning.
You know what kind of weird though? It just sounds kind of like I wish they would have been mixed together more because it almost sounds off to me.
Yeah, there's that space right in the middle of it.
I think they should have just boosted the beginning of like the volume of the beginning of the drum beat and then because it just sounds it's like
yeah, like,
in comparison, I don't know. But I said potentially the best song on the record. I don't know. I think this is like the perfect blend of new and old Wonder Years.
Oh yeah.
Lyrically, the lines are relatable, but also unique. Like he talks about Korean baseball. Who does that? So I thought that was cool.
I do like that part.
The instruments do a great job of keeping the song interesting from the beginning to end, and I love how everything came together here. When Dan says, I'm not sure everything will be okay. I felt that I felt it. I think that was like the best line that describes COVID and also maybe just life in general sometimes. There's also a lead, like a killer lead guitar part in like the bridge middle end part. It's really good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
So good. I think that was Casey, too.
It's our boy.
It's our boy, Casey.
It's our man.
Casey, we're like proud parents, Casey.
We are, Casey.
I like how this song we definitely had the most to talk about.
I know, because the song fucking rules, dude. Well,
tell me about what you did.
The song kind of captures the whole feeling of the pandemic for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Just some of the thoughts of, like, are we ever going to fucking leave our house?
I mean, I did like, every day, but I get
I did, too,
do.
But, like, luckily... Luckily, our version of the pandemic was way shorter than the rest of the countries. Like,
yeah, I can only imagine what like New York was like.
Oh my God, New York! And I heard New York didn't even like change any of their prices. Everything was super expensive.
Well, what do you mean? Were they supposed to change their prices?
No, but like everybody who was there, they were like in a lockdown. So like, if you're in a lockdown, how are you going to make money?
How are you going to make money? How are you going to eat food?
Yeah, they probably ran out of toilet paper there too.
There's the show,
Shitty City, hey.
Show called How To with John Wilson.
Yeah.
And he like he manages to like come back to New York right when the plague started spreading.
Oh, God.
And like he was like showing grocery stores and shit.
Yeah.
And like the lines were just like fucking crazy.
Dude.
And this was like maybe like the first week or something where things were like actually being taken serious.
March
or the first
of
day or something.
2020.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, that was like, do you remember, like, it was on St. Patty's Day when that bitch shut down?
Yes, because I was mad about it, because we were going to go do something.
I was going to go to the bar with my family. It was going to be my sister's first St. Patty's Day. And then they're like, all right, limit groups to 10 people. And we're like, fuck, we can't go to the bar now. And, like, we were just, like, waiting to see what Kim Reynolds would say the whole time. And, like, all day my family was just depressed, and we're like, fuck Kim Reynolds.
Yeah, everyone hates Kim Reynolds in Iowa.
Yeah.
At least everyone I know. Maybe not the older people.
But it's kind of weird, like, us wanting to, like, because she was kind of on, like, the, like, let's just, like, ignore COVID, and it won't, and it doesn't exist.
It won't hurt us.
And it won't hurt us. You guys can still go out and do things.
I love how, like, everyone was so back and forth with that.
I'm okay with, like, being able to go out and, like, have a drink and stuff.
Yeah,
and, like,
I think
hang out.
Was a little bit excessive. Like, the parts where it's, like, where the news was like, all right, don't leave your house unless you need to go get groceries. Then go do it, but wear a mask. Don't wear two masks, though. You don't want to constrict your breathing that much.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, a back and forth thing of, like,
cut a hole in your mask so you can put your cigarette in your hole. Smoke a cigarette with your mask on because that's healthier than COVID.
Man, TikTok was fucking booming with some good ones back
Dude,
then.
TikTok probably like exploded over.
That's probably why it's as popular as it
is. Because there's nothing to fucking do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyways, yeah, dude. man, just looking back at that, like, that was 2 years ago, but it literally felt like...
That's when we started.
I know.
We started November 2019, or was it November 2020? 2020. Oh, so the pandemic was happening at that time.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember.
I know. We were just like everybody else. We're like, you know what? We got a great idea during this pandemic.
Let's start a podcast. and although, in all fairness, I think our podcast has lasted longer than most of those podcasts that started during the pandemic.
You know why? Because the power of friendship.
Power of friendship and the power of pop punk.
And our 60 weekly listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
It's more.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to go back to talking about this song.
Okay, fair enough.
Dude, the guitars in this song are probably my favorite on the whole album, like you were saying, too. Lyrically, I think it's the best, in my opinion. Like, where he's like, I'm reading up on black holes, hoping one might take me in, has been a constant thought of mine for the past 3 years.
Yeah, like, what a great line, too.
Oh, yeah. Like, the first time I heard it, I was like, ooh, right in the spine.
Ooh, my tingling spine.
just not being able to, like, leave my house on the weekend, or my apartment on the weekends, and, like, this song just brought me back to that. Where it's like, what the fuck am I going to do? I guess I'm just going to stay at home, stare at the ceiling.
Play some video games.
Play some video games that I've already beat. Can't go to the store because the store's not open.
Mm-hmm.
What a bop, dude.
It is a bop.
What a bop. My favorite part is probably the bridge at the end where he's like, I'm exploding. I'm exploding on reentry, scattered wreckage in the sea. That part, but like the end of that bridge where he's just like, this part hit me so hard. And like, especially like within the past couple months, just like, I know I'll be the one who fucking ruins everything. It was like, ooh, this one hit me. This song is super therapeutic to me.
Yeah, I think this was a clear winner for the band.
Oh yeah.
And I'm glad they released it when they did.
So good, dude.
It's phenomenal. So amazing job with Low Tide.
Oh yeah.
I love it very, very much. But all good things must come to an end, and we have to go to track number 10.
Oh, you don't like track number 10?
We'll talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Laura and the Beehive.
Yeah.
I just called to talk about the weather or anything you want.
Just sing the beginning.
I know.
Of every
just
song.
The first three words, and you just stop, and I'm like, is he going to keep going?
Anything
here it is. Okay.
Bing, bong, bing, doo. All right, sorry.
You're all right. I really like the inspiration of the song and the idea that we should write songs about someone we care about before they die.
That's a great idea.
Dan, like, I was listening to an interview, and the way he said it was really funny. It was just like, well, you know, like, I know, like, when a certain person in my life's going to die, I'll have to write a eulogy. But I should just do that before they die. Like, already writing their eulogy before they're dead. Like, just imagine being, like, 85 years old and then someone writing a eulogy for you. So I always thought that was really funny. The chorus is really touching and made me, like, think twice to call, like, my parents or people I love, you know? I think the song sounds so much like Wildflower Honey from Aaron Wessler in 20s.
Yeah.
Like, I almost think it's the same song sometimes. I think the verses were kind of lame. I'm going to say it. This is a controversial thing, but I think they were just kind of lame. I know that he like had to set up the story for the song, but it's just, I don't know. I just didn't like it. But the choruses were really good.
I love the chorus.
The bridge where he like really had that moment to like scream, shout like his love. I can't remember if this was for like great aunt or grandma or what it was. But it's about Laura, damn it.
Laura
and a B5. also, I wanted to make this comparison real quick. I hope you didn't, or else I ruined your thunder. This is like a really nice mirroring to Wyatt's song with him stepping in glass in And then
I didn't even think of that.
Mm-hmm. Damn, so dude. I know I've really
where
like,
he stepped on a beehive. He's avoiding his son getting hurt, mm-hmm. you know, because he's like he learned from his mistakes, even though he didn't get hurt.
He didn't. Laura probably did, but she didn't die.
She didn't die.
We know that.
She's probably swollen for a while.
She probably was swollen. Yeah. I know there's one day like I'm gonna see on Dan's Instagram where he's like, "Laura died. Please listen to my song."
He like has a picture of her like right after she got stung.
Okay. Jesus.
I don't know. This song makes me think of that movie My Girl where Macaulay Culkin dies because he gets stung by a bunch of bees.
I've never seen that movie. I did not know Macaulay Culkin was in anything other than like that.
Then Home Alone?
And Richie Rich.
Yeah.
That's the only other one.
Oh, dude, he's in The Pagemaster, too.
I've never even heard of that movie.
Dude, Pagemaster rules, I think. I've only seen it like once or twice, but it was on like the previews before the Power Rangers movie. That's why I remember it.
Oh, I never watched Power Rangers that much.
Oh, dude.
I always liked that was my the shit. Pink one. Because that was a girl. Because
she was a girl. Dude, I think like that's why I like fighting so much. This is Power Rangers and like ninjas.
You like fighting?
I like I always used to play fight when I was a kid. Just like out in my front yard by myself.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's fair.
I don't know, like early 90s. Like
it was all about fight. I just pretend I have Pokeballs in my hand and start throwing them.
Yeah, see, like, there's definitely a generational divide.
Mm-hmm.
Not a generational divide.
You
but,
like Pokemon?
I love Pokemon, but I think I was, like, the tail end of, like, the Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers and, like, fighting shit.
Yeah,
because
that was kind of before me.
Yeah, and then after, like, when Pokemon came out, that was, like, more so your guys' era.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, oh, yeah, we like collecting things and, like, anime and stuff. And, like...
Good times.
Yeah, it was kind of like kids my age were like, we can't talk about anime, even though we all liked it.
You like Dragon Ball Z, though.
I know.
Whatever.
Yeah, but we couldn't tell anybody about it.
Now it's like you go to a gym and you see some fucking guy with a Goku shirt
and you're like
cut off all the time.
You're like, yeah, your power level's not even over like 9,000.
Yeah,
dude.
It's not even 5, bro. Calm the shit down.
Low level warrior.
Low level warrior. That sounds like a great band name.
Oh, dude. Good.
We can start a new band.
There we go.
Just let me know. You can go to that base.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I've actually been like messing around on my old computer. You don't have to put this in the fucking episode.
Maybe I will, maybe I won't.
But yeah, I've been trying to write some lyrics and stuff too.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of a songwriter here. I'm proud
probably not
of you.
Good, but I've got an idea in my head.
Mine aren't good either. I just do it anyway. Yeah. Just keep moving forward. That's
someone,
all you do.
Someone likes it.
Someone will like it. My mom will like it.
Yeah, dude. And that's someone.
That's someone.
Hope
she buys the record.
She's like, ew, leaving Warren.
I know. I like send her like one of those like newsletter emails and she hits unsubscribe.
But mom, you can earn 10% off.
I was like, fuck you.
All right. I should probably talk about this song. I love the story about the song. It's cool. I like when Dan uses like his storytelling abilities, like his imagery and shit. The chorus is probably the like my favorite part about this song.
Oh yeah,
it's so heartfelt, and it like you said, it makes you think about your relatives, mm-hmm. and how you should probably call them more before they die. You mm-hmm. know,
you probably should.
And I love the like keyboards. Whenever they add keyboards to the song, like especially like this one or like You in January, like
I do like You in January.
The tones that they use, what would you even call that?
It's a synthesizer.
Synthesizer. I love the synthesizer in it.
It sounds really good, like, because, like, it's funny because if you look back and get stoked on an era, like, yeah. That's a synthesizer, so you can make a tons of different, like, it's imitating some type of, like,
yeah.
thing. The only other song, I don't really like ton of other piano songs except the one that's on The Greatest Generation that escapes, right? The Devil in My Bloodstream, maybe.
Oh, that one's so good.
It is.
Two blackbirds on a highway sign. They're laughing at me at 4 a.m.
Okay. Yeah. We need to go to another one of your show.
Oh, man. And they play all new stuff this time?
Yeah, because we listen. I mean, I got my fill.
Yeah.
You know, like I was, when they started the whole concert with Came Out Swinging, when that's usually there.
Yeah.
So I like gave it, I was like, finally I can fucking go crazy to this song with all my energy.
Yes. all that I really remember before the Wonder Years started playing was that big sweaty guy getting in fights with people and like looking back at us like,
oh yeah, like trying to get us to back
like,
him up.
We're like, just like, dude, no, dude, not associated you're being with you. A fucking tool pushing us out of the way. Mm-hmm.
There was like one kid that went really crazy when the music hit, and I was at first annoyed, and then I was like, wait a minute, this kid needs this. Good for him. So, all right, we got to talk about this song, dude. Yeah. Track number 11, Roper.
Yeah.
Old friends like lost teeth.
Teeth yet.
I have. It sucks. Yeah. Let's not talk about it. Fuck you. The song is the most relatable song on the record. Okay. First and foremost, best electric guitar parts in the entire record, hands down. Jesus Christ, they're so good. Like the... Oh my god, yeah, I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, did I just hear like perfection? Oh, it was so good. Lyrically, the song is so interesting, like Dan's like dreams are trying to like, or like what they're trying to tell to him and stuff. And it's funny because I think it's so ironic, because when anyone ever tells me about their dreams, I'm like, I'm so bored. But Dan writes a song about it, yeah, and I'm like, oh, like,
tell me all about it, stud.
Tell me, Dan, stud. You big stud with that beard of yours. The chorus flows so damn well. It kind of reminds me of like hip hop almost in a way, like how well it flows. And when the bridge hits, I'm like, fuck me, man. Like, glad to have some yelling back, like on the earlier records. I want more of that. They did it with Breakless and.
Yeah.
I don't think it was Breakless. I think it was the other one.
The other one.
Yeah. Out of My Feet.
Out of My Feet. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I was like, that's like my favorite part of it, because I just want. I think it's Josh that does.
Yeah, the bass player.
Yeah. And it's so fucking good. I think this is actually my favorite song on the record.
Nice.
I know. I think this one's the standout one for me.
Okay. I wasn't too crazy about this one when it dropped.
You son of a bitch.
But. It's slowly grown on me. I've come back to it a lot more.
There we go. There we go.
Nice to hear, Josh. I'm just repeating what you say at this point. I'm sorry. But like, it's like, it was awesome to hear Josh like kind of shine with those backup vocals. Like, that's something that like was kind of novel about the first two albums. Well, even doesn't he? When did he like kind of stop doing backups?
I feel like Greatest Generation. I don't remember him doing them at all there, and then. He hasn't really done them since.
Yeah. And it's like nice to hear him come back. I don't know. I feel like it's the complete like Wonder Years package.
Yeah.
Like this whole album is like everything that you liked before is back. Everything that you've liked after is back. Mm-hmm. And it's just,
come on guys. Why'd you kick Josh off the mic?
Nah,
we need more Josh on the mic. Like I love me some, Matt Brash on the mic. And he's actually improved as a vocalist immensely.
Yeah.
So awesome. Good for him. He's a great backup vocalist for Dan. And he also has his side project, Cold Climate.
Yeah, that's what you sent me.
Mm-hmm. He had one newer release, I think last year or something. Oh, that was really good. So I'm always kind of looking for his stuff too. But we need more Josh.
Yeah. And this song gives me some suburbia vibes with a modern touch on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a great track. I love it.
Fantastic track.
Yeah.
Roper, are we on the last one?
We are on the last one.
Jesus fucking Christ. This song is called You're the Reason I Don't Want the World to End.
Put the work in, plant a garden, try to stay afloat.
Starting off with some beautiful falsetto.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh my god, which you don't hear Dan do too often. I actually can't think of another song he does falsetto in.
I've heard him do it before.
I know I have, but I just can't think of it. Anyway, I love this song for how it resolves the record with some somber, beautiful tones. This is like the somberness I like. I know I was complaining about it earlier, but like, I don't know. I feel like this is like not, I feel like this is light somber, and I feel like the earlier ones were like dark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm scared to my bones that I won't find a way to keep you and your brother safe is one of my favorite lines for how sincere it is. So Jack does get a little bit of a reference on this record. The final line of the song, put the work in, plant a garden, try to stay afloat, is an excellent end to a beautiful record. That's what my sweater says.
I actually like those lyrics. I might paint something to that.
Paint something, dude.
Maybe, like, draw something cool to that.
Are you a good drawer?
I'm all right. I'm nowhere near as good as Darby is. Like, yeah. That guy's just out of this world.
Darby's like the most multi-talented faceted person I've ever
met. I actually painted something like 2 weeks ago. I don't have it.
You don't have it with you?
I don't have it. I gave it to Kia. But,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. But it was Wonder Years related. I've been on a Wonder Years kick, okay?
Got
my Wonder Years tattoo.
Yeah.
Finally healed.
I don't have a Wonder Years tattoo. Roper's a bigger fan than me.
Right now I am.
For now.
I don't know. You've still probably invested more money into the Wonder Years than I have.
Paid Dan's mortgage multiple times, guys. I'm not even ashamed to say it. I love Daniel. Oh, I love his band. All right, what else you got?
Wow, what an ending.
It was a beautiful ending.
I just, I don't know. It's a nice, like, coup de grace to this album. Like, I'm going to say something in my final thoughts that'll make sense after I say this right now. Like, I just feel like a lot of these albums, like, they're, like, placed out so well that it almost, like, tells a complete story. And maybe, like, I mean, Dan even does that with fucking Aaron West, but, like...
Well, he does it perfectly in Aaron West.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point of Aaron West, but, like, with the Wonder Years, it's not just a collection of songs. I feel like it's a whole, like, experience. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this would be, like, if you made a musical with all Wonder Years songs, this is, like, the perfect ending to, like, the show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, the slow build to the finale just gets me right in my fucking feels, dude.
Right in the feels.
It's such an emotional song, but it's like just perfect.
So, what do you think is a better closer? I just want to sell at my funeral, or whatever.
I think this might be the better closer.
I really love this one. Kind of think I just want to sell at my funeral is a better ending.
It's good. It's good, and I like the callbacks in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Like this one's. Obviously a different song completely.
Yeah, it completely different.
It doesn't have a lot of... It does have a reprise from the first song, but I just want to sell my funeral kind of, like, encapsulates the whole concept of The Greatest Generation, where this one, like, it has a lot of the same... Yeah, it has a lot of the same themes as this album does, but it doesn't make the same callbacks. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, right now, I think since it's a more fresh song... It might be like
maybe I'll might like me it
better. Yeah,
to the point where it would be. Yeah, well, I guess time will tell. You know, maybe we'll bring it up later in life. So, but that leads us to our final thoughts on the record. So this is what I'll say. The long wait for another Wonder Years record was well worth it, and it also means that we don't have too much longer until we get a new Aaron West record.
Oh,
I know.
I don't know if I'm ready for that, dude.
Dude, I like ready like reluctantly. the themes of life and death are really fascinating here. And I really think when it comes down to it, when you have the sense of death and also birth, because like he just had two kids.
Yeah.
I think it's a great example of postpartum depression.
Well, maybe he's like, it's kind of cool because he's only experienced the death part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finally sees like a new life with his sons.
Yeah. Like I think
so.
I don't know. I think that's like my big brain moment is like, postpartum depression, like once I really let that sink in, it really makes a lot of sense because like when, and I know it usually happens in like mothers.
Yeah, females, but it can happen to dads too.
Yeah, exactly. Where you're kind of like obsessed with death and like all this little
but
bit.
But I think he might have had that before.
Though. Maybe, but like keep in mind, like this record may have came out now, but he was probably writing it back then.
Oh yeah.
So who knows? I'm not sure I would say this is my favorite Wonder Years record, but it does come damn close and the boys can just do no wrong.
Well said.
Thank you.
Well said. Overall, I think this album is a masterpiece.
A masterpiece.
It's so fucking good. And I think that's what makes a band great is that you have songs that you don't necessarily like as much as other ones, but you can also appreciate them. Mm-hmm. There's bands that I listen to where I'm like, oh, this song is horse shit. It's trash. I'll never forgive them. But with the Wonder Years, they have a song that I don't listen to all the time, or like that I skip over, and I'm just like, okay, they're still my favorite band.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I love, like, every new Wonder Years album is like a new season of my favorite TV show. I know, yeah. I texted that to you a couple weeks ago, but like, mm-hmm. every time they put out something new, I just like, it's a complete story.
It is.
It's fucking great. I always like had this idea in the back of my head. If I were ever to write a TV show, I would just write it to fucking Dan Campbell's lyrics.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah. And then, I love the blend of style of both styles of the band on this album, like the past pop punk sound mixed with their more like emo mature sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know, when Casey's like, this is going to be like the best Wonder Years you've heard yet. I kind of agree with that. Like,
yeah,
like professionally they're taking all their past influence or their past like sounds and just melding this perfect fusion of both of them. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
This band is just so damn good.
So good.
I love this album.
I love it too. I'm also going to give props to, I know I mentioned it before, the producers, the mixers, the masters, because yeah. I think the last two records were kind of
lacking.
Yeah. And I think this one really like is very neat and shiny, yeah. And it's not like overproduced, but it definitely has production put in there that makes it sound as great as it does. So
absolutely.
They did an excellent job, and I'm really proud of everyone that worked on this record. Do we have any listener responses?
No.
Are you kidding me?
No, my bad.
Oh man, that's all right. So no listener responses this week, but I know all you guys love the new record.
Yeah,
we know it. We didn't even need to ask. So yeah. Let's just jump into the next section. Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us the info we need to get all your song submitted. Not just the first half or the last half, all of it. You can find a link to the form in our link tree on any and all of our social medias. Now, Roper, this week we have Kerosene Heights with their song In Your Blood. I'm sure it's pronounced In Your Blood, but they spelled it U-R for your. So
I'm really curious to see what this is going to sound like.
We've definitely heard it before.
We have, but it's been so long.
That's true. Kerosene Heights is an emo punk band from Asheville, North Carolina. We mix emotional, heartfelt lyrics with fast, fun, melodic, and raw sound. Ooh, dirty. Nice. We're heavily inspired by the 2010s emo revival scene. Bands such as Joyce Manor, Glockamora,
yeah,
and Summer Vacation, with some tongue-in-cheek references to mainstream pop punk and emo of the 2000s that we all know and love. I like that. In Your Blood, and Her Blood is about loving people for who they are, escaping societal norms and standards, and existing in your truest form. I wrote the song for my partner when they came out as non-binary. Rough. Well, let's listen to the song.
Let's kick it. Just tell me what you need, and I'll try my best to find it. You've got stars behind your eyelids, and tonight they look so vibrant. Tell me all the things you like, all the things you don't like. I didn't anymore. It's okay, I love you however you are.
We'll be right back. How'd you like that tune?
Some nice, like, Midwestern emo style.
This is, like, emo 100% music. Joyce Manor. Like, yeah, I could definitely hear that inspiration, I really like what you guys are doing.
It makes me want to suck a titty by the ocean.
Suck a titty by the ocean. It's funny because my favorite...
seventh grade.
It's funny because my favorite Joyce Manor songs are no one else's favorite Joyce Manor songs.
I think I only know, like,
suck a titty by the ocean.
Suck a titty by the ocean. I know another one, but...
But yeah, Kerosene Heights, guys, fantastic song. Loved every second. It's not even their number one song. It's their number five song. You got four other songs that a lot of people are digging. So
that's dope.
How many monthly listeners these guys have, Roper? 422.
Come on, guys.
How many monthly listeners should they have?
A million.
42,069.
Times a million.
420.69. Did you get my reference?
2069. Nice.
I feel like 5 years old.
Yeah.
What up? Anyway.
That makes me want to go back to seventh grade.
There we go. Guys, check out Kerosene Heights. Check out the song.
Yeah.
In her blood.
As a reminder, you can find our link tree on any and all of our social medias. Our username is PPES Podcast everywhere. That's Instagram. That's Facebook. That's Twitter. And more. Please drop us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to help our show, what, Hunter?
Grow! A little bit of peek for you.
Hey! Every single song you heard today on today's episode will be on a Spotify playlist. You can also find a playlist of our up-and-coming bands from each season, as well as our pop punk emo supremo picks playlist that I curate weekly, sometimes weekly.
Sometimes. Guys, we got to talk about the news.
Well, don't forget about our news. Our new show, Pop Punk Emo Supremo News, for all your monthly new releases, tour announcements, and more. Tell us about the news, Hunter.
I don't know what's going on, guys. We keep getting delays, and it's really difficult to get enough of an episode to where, like, we feel like it's worthy of being, or, like, I think
if we try the monthly cycle, we haven't started the monthly one yet, but I've got it all prepared this time.
Yeah. So
I think if we try it out, just build up news stories over the month and singles that we like over the month, then it'll be like a worthy show. But
I think because we did
get quite a few listeners,
yeah,
like going back on it. But I don't know if we did like a monthly wrap up. I think that'd be fine. Or
we just need to make sure it's released either the last or first day of the month.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what's difficult. So we're going to be better about it. We're going to keep doing it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
I know you guys
heads.
Have been hurting about the news and the pop punk.
You guys
world.
Are like, I am so lost because I do not have social media. Yeah. Just this podcast.
Just the Pop Punk Emo Supremo podcast.
That's it.
It's your only news source.
That's your only news source. And we have been lacking. Lack of slacking. Yeah. But what's your hot take, Rope Dog?
Did you see the new Mario trailer?
I did.
Okay.
It's me, Chris Pratt.
It's me, Chris Pratt. Doesn't even fucking try, bro.
No, Jack Black tried. He did
Jack
awesome.
Jack Black is the man. But I think, okay, so hot take. I don't like Charles Martinet's, like, high-pitched Mario.
Who is he?
He's the guy who does Mario's voice in all the video games.
Oh, he's great.
It's me. It's the guy that we're all used to by now.
Just
but
put an Italian up front.
The first guy that was ever Mario was Captain Lou Albano, and he sounded like a real Italian dude.
Yeah.
And because he was a real Italian dude. I'm going to say, like, let's get a Mario. You know how we had to reskin Sonic?
Yeah.
Let's sign a petition to get Chris Pratt to actually try and sound like an Italian man.
No, let's just get Chris Pratt out of there.
Yeah, let's get him out of there. And, like, let's get a stereotype Italian where he's just like...
more stereotypes.
Yeah, it's 2022, damn it.
We need more stereotypes. I wonder more if that's why they did it. I thought they just did it because, like, Chris Pratt, like, brings in people.
Probably. But the animation on that just looks
beautiful.
Fucking great, dude.
Well, Nintendo had a huge part of it, so...
Yeah, they're very hands-on. Like, if you ever try to make any, like, movie properties of Nintendo, like, the first and only Nintendo movie, the Mario Brothers movie, came out in the 90s, was such, like, a train wreck that they're like, oh, no.
Never again.
And then they're making that one... They made the one with Illumination. I feel like that's going to open up a lot more...
I hate Illumination, but it does look really good.
I think it looks really...
I just don't like what they usually work on, like Minions and shit like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Well, because it's not for you.
I don't care.
It's not for me.
I don't care. Like, but Mario, animation can be good without being bad, like how they do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that we just need, like, an old Italian dude just be Mario, and then Luigi as well, like...
Yeah.
No, Mario!
Luigi's being played by...
Charlie.
Yeah.
I fucking love Charlie Day.
Yeah, I think he'll do a better job than fucking Chris Pratt, but... I don't know, dude. I'm going to go see it.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm probably going to have a fine time, but there's always going to be a part of me that's like, why the fuck is Chris Pratt Mario? Come on.
Chris Pratt,
come on, but the trailer was really good. It was really funny.
Okay, so if you could pick any like Nintendo property to make a movie of, what would you make?
No More Heroes.
But
that's because I'm a big fan.
It's not exclusive Nintendo property, though.
Well, I mean, it kind of was, and then they ported one game over to PlayStation.
Yeah, and then they fucked up and did that. I would like a F-Zero movie. That'd be cool.
Is there even a plot in F-Zero?
No.
I was gonna say.
It's just a bunch of people racing.
Maybe that would be good for a movie, though.
That would be cool. You know? Or like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Like Punch-Out.
No, there's got to be a better one. There's got to be like Metroid, I think I would enjoy.
Metroid would be crazy. But that's pretty much Alien.
That's fine.
Alien rules.
Alien does rule.
And you know what made more money than Alien?
Hmm.
Aliens. Yep. Did you ever hear the pitch for James Cameron wanting to make a sequel to Alien?
Uh-uh.
He just goes up to this like chalkboard and writes down Alien and then puts an S next to it and then a dollar sign. And they're like, you're hired.
You son of a bitch, we're in. Absolutely. I loved Aliens Alien. I think Alien was a better movie, but I liked Aliens.
Do you like Avatar?
I don't really remember it. I know I watched it.
I saw it in theaters, and I just...
Too long.
Yeah, really long for a 16-year-old, 17-year-old.
Now they're making a new movie.
I know.
Because I remember when it came out on Blu-ray, and my mom's like, it's going to be such a beautiful movie. And we went home and watched it on our, 4x3 TV aspect ratio.
I thought it would be great.
Yeah, so I bet it looks great on my actual TV now, but back then,
not so much.
Oh, no. So,
yeah, my hot take is, let's get an actual Italian, guy from, who owns a restaurant. And he's like, Gabagool, Bowser, you know?
My hot take is that your hot take is absolutely correct.
Thank you. Finally, some validation in my life.